Those who can turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to read verses 45 through 52. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when he even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. A few weeks ago, in my devotion time, I've come across a thing that really got me. And I've talked to my wife about it a little bit. And it's about our walk of life and things. How we, in the troubles, in the trials, in the tunnel, we're always looking for the light at the end. So I'm going to try to hit some points on that in this tonight. The disciples here just witnessed one of the greatest miracles where the 5,000 were fed. And not only were they fed, they were full. The people were full. And there were still 12 of baskets left over. And before that, they had seen the devils cast out of the man into the swine. They'd seen the woman healed. They'd seen Jairus' daughter healed. And they had been out themselves also preaching and casting out demons and anointing people the sick and seeing them healed. So they should have been on a spiritual high from what they've done. And also, this was not the first time they'd been in a boat. It's not the first storm they'd been in. You know, a few chapters back when Jesus was asleep and calmed the storm. So it's not the first storm. They should be familiar with a storm, but you can imagine them sailing off when Jesus told them to go while he got rid of the crowd and spent some time in prayer. You can imagine them sailing off and just telling the stories of just, I like to think back and just sit there in a boat and think about them, you know, telling the stories of what they'd seen about, man, he would just go on and on about feeding that many people with fish and with the 5 loaves of fish, or 5 loaves and the 2 fish. You'd just talk about that. You'd talk about the healing. You would talk about everything. It would just be great. But then the storm hit. So my first point is storms in life are evident. So here the disciples are in the boat. Everything they're familiar with. They were familiar with the boat. They were already had been in the boat. They've been fish. A lot of them have been fishermen. They were talking about the journey again and the mighty things that God had seen. And then here comes the storm. And as in our lives, we're trudging along, things are going just great. And sometimes we don't even see it coming and the storm will knock us. So we're in the storm of our life just like they were. And I've heard it preached, if you're getting trials against you or if you're in the middle of a storm, it's something that you did wrong. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have heard that preached in your lives. But it's evident right here that the disciples weren't out of God's will. They did exactly what Jesus had told them to do. They got in the boat and they sailed towards Bethsaida. That's Christ's will for them, and they were in the middle of it, and they still were in the storm. So don't let yourself get beat down when you're in a storm that it's something you did. Because storms are evident. Storms are in life. Storms are there. So in the will of Christ, they were not only in the storm, they were struggling and they were fighting for their life in this storm. We're going through a lot of storms in our life. We've had a lot of things hit us this year. And I don't know if I'm just a slow learner and God just keeps putting me back there or not. But this devotional that I talked to my wife a couple of weeks ago about just brought me into this. And it's just kind of teaching me some things. So in the storm of your life, are you questioning that storm? Are you like the disciples struggling with the wind in your face? Not able to make your own way, not able to do it under your own power, No matter how hard you try, you're just battling that wind. You're battling the storm. You're battling the waves hitting you. But even though the storms are never pleasant, they can produce certain benefits in our life. So first, storms in our life are evident. They're going to be there. Second, storms are a means of transportation or even transformation. The storm, the very thing that caused fear in this story, the Lord used to reveal himself in the story. I'm sure in the storm, or like you're driving down the road and you get in the middle of a rainstorm, you got your windshield wipers flying and you know, you're driving real slow, you got both hands on the wheel, you're nervous and you even pull over and you can't see. So I'm sure the disciples couldn't see very well in this. But they did see someone walking on the water and didn't recognize him. You would think that would be the first person that they would think would be the one out there walking on the water from what the miracles that they had seen him do. You would think that would be the first one on their mind. It should be the first one on our mind when we're in a struggle, but it's not. They thought it was a demon. Through the storm, their eyes, their vision and their thoughts and their conversation probably went from the good parts about God, about what they had seen, to, man, he's got us out here in his boat all by herself. He knew it was going to storm. He just threw us out here in the water to die. Why did he do this? We tell ourselves all kinds of stuff when we're going through troubles, right? In our storms of life, we fall to that same self-preservation. And the self-mode, you even don't even want to hear sometimes what God has to say. If you get so down in what you're going through, you even turn the Christian radio off going down the road. You don't want to hear it sometimes. So first, it was hard for the disciples to see and to focus in that storm. But second, they thought it was the evil spirit. And I always wondered why they thought it was an evil spirit. And you guys may have already be ahead of me on this thought, but then I'd realized just a few chapters before, you know, Jesus had cast the swine into the pigs. Where did the pigs go? Where did the swine go? The evil spirits went in the swine. They jumped in the sea. So they're thinking they're out in the middle of this storm full of evil spirits walking all over the place, is what I'm figuring out that they probably were doing. The last thing they knew that Jesus was, that before they got on the boat to sail out, the last thing they knew, Jesus was on the shore. They wouldn't think it was him. They couldn't see it very well, so, you know, their mind's playing tricks with them. They were thinking maybe this evil spirit's got out of the pigs and they're walking around coming to get us. They're probably even having a little pity party, you know. Jesus stayed on the land, sent us out here in the midst of this storm, knowing the sea was full of demons. And here we are, all alone. They didn't recognize Jesus until he spoke. It'd be nice to sometimes hear an audible voice from him, wouldn't it? What a power that they had to actually be able to hear and talk and walk with him, you know. We have his word, here's his voice, but just sometimes it would be comforting if you just could hear it. If you could just see him in person, if you could hear him talk to you. So this kind of I'm going to jump off a little bit to our devotion that I was telling my wife about. You know, in our lives, we go through troubles and things like that, and we're looking at the end of the tunnel. We're always in the tunnel, and what do we say? There's light at the end of the tunnel. But there's a lot of things that we can learn in the tunnel. We talked about this. We talked about even with our kids, you know, your baby is in the seat, and you can't wait for it to sit up. Then you can't wait for it to crawl. Then you can't wait for it to walk, and you can't wait for it to talk. But all the time that baby's growing, and you're looking ahead what it can do, sometimes you miss the joys of what it is doing that time. You know, we've had five kids, and now we've got grandkids that are growing up faster than we can keep up with. And, you know, that was one of the main thoughts that we had when we were talking about this. So sometimes in our lives, we feel or think that Jesus wants us to do something and are obedient in it. That doing what he wants us to do will lead us to the great success. You know, we're looking at what it's leading us to. That it's our view is the finish line, not always where we're at. However, his purpose may be the opposite. We have an idea that he is leading us towards our particular goal or desired end, but maybe he's not. The question is, if we arrive at that particular goal, whether it's of little importance. And reaching the goal is an episode or pathway to get to the goal. Sometimes God sees it as the process, where we see it as the goal. And I'm going to touch a little bit more of that in a little while, but the disciples here are in the goal. We need to be focused in the goal while we're in the journey, while we're walking this life, while we're walking through the storms, the troubles that we're going through, we got to stay focused in them. Jesus came in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest time of the night. 3, 4, 5 in the morning is when he came. So Jesus comes in the face of darkness. Our darkest time, we question sometimes, where are you, God, right? I have. You know, when things aren't going good, things are down on you, you know, you're just nothing. All you do seems to go, and you're questioning, Jesus, where are you? God, where are you? Well, he's there. Put up Hebrews 13:5. So in those dark times, claim some verses. I'm going to give you a couple of verses. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. 1 Kings 8:12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. And then Psalms 139:11-12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Scriptures tell us that God's there in the darkness. Even in our troubled times of life, God's there. And as the disciples, even in the darkest hour of life, you cannot hide from the face of God. Now, even though they didn't recognize him standing there, walking on the water, it was still him. He was still present to them. Even when you can't see him, even when you can't recognize him, he's there. So first he comes in the face of darkness, but he also comes in the face of disaster. The disciples here in a fight for the life, verse 48 says they were toiling and rowing, toiling, working hard, probably feel like they were failing, even probably to the point maybe they thought they were going to capsize and drown. They were afraid for their lives. They thought they were doomed. And here comes this thing that they didn't know what it was yet, but it was Jesus just in time. Have you been to that point where you've almost thought you'd lost the battle in the storm? The Lord is not just in charge of your blessings on the or the light at the end of the tunnel or the goal. The next thing in your life you're working towards, he is in control of your darkness as well. When things look the worst around you, Jesus is about to show up. Just count on it. He may not keep you from going through the storm, but he will keep you in the midst of the storm. There's an old hymn that talks about, sings that song. But don't just look past the storm when you're in it. Don't just get down while you're in it, but don't just look past the storm. Look for things through the process of why you're going through it. Don't just look at the end of the tunnel, because God's purpose, his goal, his vision may just simply be for you to depend on him right then, right now, right where you're at. Right at this very moment, to realize and recognize his power. If you can stay calm, faithful, and unconfused while in the midst of turmoil of life, the goal of God's mission and his purpose may be accomplished. I've not been good at that in my past. You know, the thing, let all that stuff get you down, but I'm learning from it, and this devotion and with this study that I came from, it has really spoke to me to really convict me of that. God may not be working towards a particular finish. His purpose may just be the process itself. His desires, we see him. Walking on the sea. You know, we're in the storm, but his desires are we see him walking on the sea. No success, no goal in sight, but having the absolute certainty that everything is going to be all right. Because you see him walking on the sea. Because you see him on top of your storm. It is not the outcome of the storm. It's the relying on him in the process that glorifies him. So he comes in the darkness. He comes in disaster. And he comes in the face of the deep. The very thing the disciples feared was the very thing that God used as his vehicle to arrive on the scene. He was not telling them in the storm was not fierce. He was telling them he was greater than the storm. Regardless of the storm that you're in, regardless of what you're facing, Jesus is greater than your storm. And sometimes we have more than one storm that we're in, but he's still greater than all those storms. In it, be patient. He'll show up right on time. Do not fear the storms of life. They are means to bring you closer to God. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. But all those things work together towards good. God's training is for the now. His purpose is for this very moment you're in. His purpose is for what you're going through sometimes. We have nothing to do with what will follow. We can only be in control of right now. As Josh preaches all the time, he only gives us grace for the moment. You know, that's what the storm is. He only gives us, and he wants us to rely on him in that moment. What we're looking at is preparation. God is looking as the goal itself. What we're looking as to get into the goal, the steps that we're getting there, is just a pathway to get to the goal. That's maybe what God is just trying to teach us in, to show us in, to just to simply rely on him. Storms are evident. Storms are a mean of transportation or transformation. And storms also reveal the Savior. The disciples, like we said, didn't recognize him. But Jesus revealed himself to them. He came with a message of peace. And he came with a message of power. He said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." In our storms, if we look for Jesus, then he will bring a message of peace. That's what he brought. They were still in the storm when he told them just to cheer up. "The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep you." He brings a message of power. He identifies himself. "It is I." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus says, "Cheer up. God's on the ground. He's on the scene. He's here." If we can ever grasp that fact that Jesus is there, if we can ever grasp the fact that he is the great I am, as we read over and over in scriptures and see evidence of it and everything that the Bible tells us, he is that great I am. If we can ever grasp the fact that all we got to do is plug into that power, greater than any power that we ever could even imagine, we can enjoy peace even in those trials. The storms can even be a blessing. They can refine us. Peter wanted to walk with Jesus in this story. In our storms, if we ever get a hold of that truth, that Jesus is the master of the storm, we can rise above our circumstances and walk on the waves just as our Lord did, and just as Peter did. Peter's walk didn't last very long because he took his eye off the power. But Jesus didn't lack the power. Peter could have walked forever, but he took his eye off the power of Jesus. But Peter had a story that none of the other 11 could tell. He could say, "I walked on the storm." You know, they might make fun of him, "Hey, you sunk." But he said, "Hey, I walked." He got out of the boat and he tried. He didn't sit in the boat, you know, hanging on to a seat for dear life, probably looking for every life jacket there was. He knew it was God, and he walked out to him, and he trusted God to do that. If we let them, the storms can refocus our faith. In the difficult days, God can use them to teach us more. In the difficult times, he can use them to teach us about him. And remember that his purpose may just be for this very minute. 12 were in the boat and walked on the water with Jesus. It doesn't matter that Peter sank. And I have a thing on my prayer wall. It doesn't matter that Peter sank. What matters is he got up, he got out of the boat, and he tried. So remember, like Peter, when he took off his eye off the Savior, he sank. And if we take our eyes off the Savior during the storm, we're doomed, right? No credit is hinged on anything that we can do. No any power, no anything we can come up with, no scheme, no plan, anything that we can come up with. We have no credit in anything. But our credit, our storm is secured on knowing him, acknowledging him, acknowledging his power, making him the master of our storm. Storms are evident. Storms are transportation. Storms reveal the Savior. And storms can be a means of testimony. They testify of his power. Jesus got in the boat and the sea was calmed. One day the same may happen in your life. A storm will rage. It's going to. Just plan on it. Just know storms are coming. Not if a storm's coming. Storms are coming. The storm will rage until his purpose is accomplished. And he will cease the winds for you. He wants to see us to see him. He wants to recognize that he is in the storm. He wants us to recognize he is in control. Not me, not you, but him. Storms are a mean of testimony. They're also of his power, but they're also of his person. When Jesus stilled the storm, they knew that they were in the presence of God. All he did was get in the boat, and the storm stopped. You know, before a couple of chapters, all he told the winds to cease. They confessed him. When the storms come, they should bring us to the place that we recognize him, that we bow down and we worship him. We should know that he is the one that can calm it. God's purpose has enabled me to see that he can walk on the storms of life now. If our goal is further ahead, we are not paying attention to what he has for us in the present. However, if we realize that moment by moment, obedience is the goal, each moment can become precious to us. So mine's pretty quick. I hope you guys can get something out of that. But in that devotion, we talked about it for a long time. It just hit me, and it led me to these other verses that in what we're going through, in the tunnel, whatever things are hitting us, whatever things are hitting you, you know, just realize that God's right there with us. He's there to carry us. He's there to provide for us. He's there to calm the sea. He's there to handle the demons. He's there to do anything he can do if you just allow him to step in your life. Just allow him to take control. Just make him king. And then you can take that and the storms that you're facing, you can help someone else, you know, in our walk of life once we get grasp the fact that he is the Lord. Go ahead and bow your heads. Does anybody want to share a storm that they might be facing right now that they need prayer for? If you don't want to verbally say it, you can raise your hand. We all are facing them. If not right now, we're going to be. So I just want us to close in prayer. It's a good thing for Amanda. She wasn't prepared for a long class at all, so it wasn't long. And I don't bring a very long message, but that's exactly what God gave me. So I just pray that something in that helps someone tonight. Father God, I just come to you, and Lord, just thank you for your word. Thank you for your things that you do for me daily. And Father, I just ask you to forgive me for not paying attention to what you're doing in the moment that I'm in, Father, for looking ahead from the point that I'm at to the end of the goal, the end story, but not just recognizing you in my daily walk, in my daily life. And Father, just I ask that each and every one of us here can just grasp that power, can grasp that vision, that wherever they're at in life, all they got to do is turn to you. Lord, you're there. Your face is there. We just got to recognize you that you're there. Father, we love you and we praise you. And Father, as we go out tonight, Father, just be with each and every one. Keep us safe as we go. And Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity tonight. Thank you for Josh and Jordan to be able to get away and spend some refreshing time as a family. God, just refresh them as they come back this weekend. And Lord, just let us use you. Let us use our lives for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.